This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of Hello from the Other Side from the Wednesday week, where we talk to opposition fans and opposition podcasts to get their viewpoints and opinions ahead of the games that we've got coming up. As you can see, I'm not Dan O'Rash, I'm Stevie, and tonight I am joined by Stephen from the 12th Man podcast, who is going to be talking to us about our upcoming game on Easter Monday against Middlesbrough. How's it going, Stephen? All right?
Yeah, good, thank you, yourself.
Yeah, good mate. Getting ready for that. We're just at that point now where we're coming out of the international sort of break. So it feels a little while since, from a Wednesday point of view, since we've enjoyed the 6-0 down at Ipswich. It's a distant memory now. Thank you, thankfully, from there. I'm looking forward to getting back into a bit of football this weekend. So we're going to get into it. We're going to chew the fat a little bit about all things Borough, all things Wednesday, and see how we get on. Just in terms of previewing the game on Monday. Now, for the benefit of people that are either watching on YouTube or listening, I'm going to give a little bit of disclaimer. We are recording this before the game's on Good Friday. Who have you got this Friday, Stephen? Southampton. Yeah, so if the conversation jumps over Southampton and that last-minute equaliser that you've scored and the 6-0 drubbing that we give Swansea on Friday afternoon, then people can we'll sort of understand the reasons why. Yeah. Right then. So, Borough, talk to me about your season so far, mate. How's it been going?
God, where do I start? Bit of like a roller coaster, to be honest. We come into it the same sort of form we did when we came to yourselves back in September at Hillsborough. Struggling to get wins on the board, struggling to score goals, create, you know, chances. It's like we build ourselves up towards something and then we just come crashing back down again. And it's like our season's coming towards a stagnant end. We're half in the playoff run, we're half not. This weekend they'll probably, you know, show which way the leg's going to go towards the rest of the season. But yeah, it's been a difficult one for ourselves this year, I'm not going to lie.
Well, it seems that way, to be honest with you. I can't profess to be, because being Middlesbrough seem to be that team that are sort of in that sort of dead area of mid-table. Now, as a Wednesday fan, we look from 24th up to, as it stands at the minute, 16th, 17th, and you've kind of escaped that. And nobody really here now is looking at the top end of the league, so to speak. So from an outsider looking in, it's been a bit of a curious one for Middlesbrough, because at the start of the season, it wasn't going great. And to say that you were, you know, a goal away from making it to Wembley with a view to getting back into the Premier League, it's, you know, there were expectations, certainly of the job that Carrick had done last year, that you'd be one of the teams to watch. So what do you think it was? I mean, if I'm right in thinking, I think you lost five out of the first six and didn't win till the eighth game, you know, and there were some abject performances. What was the issue at the start of the year?
I mean, last summer there was a lot of change in the club, player-wise. There was a lot of players went out. We lost a lot of goals with Tubrak on left. Obviously, there's 30 goals straight away. Cameron Archer left for the Premier League. Aaron Ramsey left for the Premier League. Ryan Giles left. Zach Steffen left. We've to bring in a lot of new players, and we've gone a different direction. We've looked towards more of the future. I mean, prime example is you look at Morgan Rodgers. We brought him in, supposed to be, you know, an upcoming star, and he went on to bigger things straight away in January. So we made our money straight away from that. That's the kind of direction we're going towards now, bringing in younger players and you know, bedding them in and making, you know, building on that and you know, see for our future. I think that's what made the slow start even worse because of what happened last season. Obviously, the end of the season, going to the playoffs, we thought this could be our year. This could be the time we actually do this. And so, obviously, we fell flat on our face, and it was a bit of a awful ending to the season. And we just carried on into the new season. You know, no struggling to score, struggling to keep clean sheets. Even came to yourselves with only 1 point, managed to get our second point of the season there. But funny enough, our first win came against Southampton, I think. So there you go. That was that's how the season is, and that's, well, as you know, that's how the Championship is. You know, it can be so up and down. But I think it's just a case we didn't bed the players in too well. You know, nothing their fault. You know, it's completely new leagues for most of them, and it just really hurt us, and we didn't start the way we wanted to, and it's just affected how we've gone about our season. We've always played catch up from there on in.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about catch up, and I'm going to stick current league standings up at the moment. I think for the benefit of people that are watching the show on YouTube, that's where you are at the moment. And as you look at your season, it's almost symmetrical in the way that things have gone, isn't it? You know, played 38, won 16, lost 16, 6 draws. I think there's only one goal plus one goal difference. So off the back of that start, you know, with no wins and only a couple of points in your first 8 games, you'd have to look at that. I don't know what your feelings are or the feelings of Borough fans are. You'd be looking at that thinking that to get yourself in with a shout of being in and around the playoffs is some sort of achievement, is it not?
That would have been remarkable to be where we are now from where we were. It's even back in October. We were still crawling away from the relegation zone. And I know it shows that, you know, we've won 3 of our last 4. We drew against Blackburn, but that really is a symmetrical look at our season. You know, we've really dragged ourselves away from trouble because we really could have been dragged into a dogfight. We were being cut away from 7 games in, so the teams above had a little gap on us, as you knew as well, because you were down there with us at the time. You know, that's not a dig. We dragged ourselves away, and we got some form, and we've had some really good runs this season, but there's always... We don't stumble off a cliff. We fall off a cliff really badly. And, you know, them 3 wins we've had in the last 4 games have covered over the fact that we didn't get a win apart from Leicester in, you know, away from home in the middle of February from the end of December. You know, yeah. That was a long time for us to not win in the league. I know we beat Chelsea in the Cup and that was fantastic, but, you know, it covered a lot of... It's a lot of problems in the club and a lot of issues we had with the squad and not building on what we had in the January transfer window as much as we should have. It's made fans a little bit disgruntled about where we've gone this season. You know, there was a lot of hope going into, you know, February, March, April, thinking we could still be, you know, come to be in the top 6 here, but it just seems to have fallen away at the wrong time. And you know, I could be completely wrong, and we couldn't be that team that makes the last start into the playoffs. But we're having a struggle with the teams that are above us, unfortunately.
Well, I had another question that I was going to ask you, but I'm going to jump back to that one in a moment. I'm going to just pull at that thread now. What's the feeling amongst Borough fans, the feeling in Middlesbrough at the moment? Do you feel, because if I put the table back up as you look at it, you are 6 points, 7 points, forgive me, away from Norwich. who are sitting in that sixth spot. And it seems to be that you've got the teams above you, Hull, Coventry, Preston, they're all within 2 points of each other. Is there a feeling that you can put a run together and maybe sort of knock on the door of that sixth position? Or are you sort of seeing it as this is a season where we'll consolidate in the upper mid-table and maybe look to regroup and we'll bed those players in that you've talked about earlier and we'll make a real go of it next year?
I think this coming weekend will tell us everything we need to know about our season. If we come out this weekend smelling of roses and 6 points better off, then all of a sudden we're in with a real shout of getting back in there. Because all the teams above us do still have to play each other. You know, we've got to take that into consideration. But personally, when I look at our last eight games, you know, you've probably got something to cover the last eight games there. But it's difficult. We've got some really difficult games coming. And, you know, three of the top four still to play, starting with Southampton. We've still got Leeds to come here. We've still got to go to Ipswich. I mean, unfortunately, you will have found out how difficult it is to go to Ormond Road at the moment. You know, they are really flying. Hull, they're still in the fight. Cardiff, still in the fight. You know, so it's really difficult. It's going to be really difficult. But if we get 5 wins out of them eight, we've put ourselves in the conversation. Whether we get them 5, I don't know.
So I'm not going to trouble you for a prediction with that at the moment. We may come back to that later. But the question I was going to ask you previously, as we've gone through the season this year, was, you know, I think you had one of our old sort of nemesis at the start of the year last season, jump back to the start of the 2022-23 season. I believe you had Wilder in charge, did you not? And didn't go as planned with the reputation that he'd sort of built for himself. And then we've gone through a couple of changes and we've fallen upon Carrick, Michael Carrick, who's come in, first managerial job, and took the division by storm, didn't he? So his stock was really, really high going into, you know, the second half of the season. And he's managed to get you to, as we said, within a goal of getting to the playoff final at Wembley. Was there ever any pressure at the start of the season? Were there any sort of negativity towards Michael Carrick and the way things were going at the start of the season? Or did last year bide him enough time and enough sort of good grace with the fan base?
It probably bided him enough time. I mean, last season brought expectation. You know, we thought, myself included, that we should be hitting the top six as a minimum and potentially looking at the top two. I know the three that came down from the Premier League were massive hits, massive hitters, massive spenders. And to keep up with them would have been an exceptional task. I mean, Ipswich are proving us all wrong in that at the moment. But it bought him some time to then get his feet back under the table and bed the squad in and get things how he wanted to. Because this season as a whole for Michael Carrick has been a massive challenge. You know, he's had to find ways to go away from his philosophy of how he plays football and change things in little areas to find us wins, you know, to get us on the board. I mean, it all started with Leicester at home back in October, November when we won 1-0. You know, sitting back at home, having 34% possession of the ball and nicking a 1-0 win. That's not in his plan. That's not what he did last season. We went to places and tore teams apart for fun. You know, went to Sheffield United, tore them apart. You know, that's the type of thing we did. Went to Swansea, tore them apart. But this year it's been really difficult. And I think he's come through it. There is still a little bit of, you know, pressure on him that he's not finding plan B to his liking. But I think, how he started his career at Middlesbrough probably helped him so much to give him the reputation with the fan base that we can stick with him a little bit longer than we usually would have with people like Chris Wilder.
Yeah, you can see that. And it's interesting that you talk about that plan B and the philosophy. And I want you to take this around the right way. Please do. We were scared. I was nervous when Middlesbrough came to Hillsborough at the start of the season. I think it was sort of late August, early September, maybe middle of September. And you've come down on a Tuesday night and things weren't great with us. We didn't have the best sort of start of the season ourselves and the manager wasn't doing great things at the time. So, you know, we weren't expecting much after the sort of the results that we'd had in and around that Middlesbrough game. And I have to say, again, respectfully, I didn't think much of you. that evening. I didn't think you were a great side to watch. I thought we held our own and we were abject at the time. So I don't know if it was a bit of a flash in the pan, a one-off sort of thing, or, you know, whatever there may have, it may have been sort of Tuesday night blues. But, you know, for whatever it was, I can remember I sit on the south behind the dugouts, not far away, and I can remember looking at Carrick and thinking, he wasn't one that was losing his temper. He weren't losing his head. Things weren't going great. And I do believe we were the better side on the night.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Do respect, you were probably looking to get away with a draw. Whether or not you agree with that, I don't know. But
I do agree. I was there that night at Hillsborough. I just remember the first half, our poor left back got absolutely torn to pieces.
It got hauled off.
And we've looked at him, and he's come on so much as well, which, you know, it shows the progression in the squad if you just look at Lucas Engel himself. But we came to yourselves in such a bad place after such a bad start. Our only point on the ball was Huddersfield at home. Obviously, you know, Huddersfield are down there with yourselves fighting for their lives as well. And it just shows, we thought, is this going to be a long season? And, you know, that game against yourselves, I walked out thinking, we're looking to get something here. We were really lucky. But we kicked on from there, thankfully. But you're absolutely right to point out, you know, we weren't great that night. And we looked at a team that ran out of ideas really quickly, which is really worrying.
Yeah, you kicked on from there, and we had another month and a half with our former manager and concrete boot time. So we've been stuck in 24th, 23rd for the majority of the season. But thankfully, you know, we've had a bit of an upturn, which we may get onto in the next sort of 5-10 minutes or so. But you've lost Akpom. He's gone abroad. You've lost Archer, as we've discussed. Premier League players have gone back to Premier League clubs, and, you know, that's led to a bit of a squad overhaul. I must admit, in the sort of the little bit of research that I've done into Middlesbrough in preparation for the chat, I've gone down the list, and there aren't many players that I recognise, if I'm totally honest with you. One or two names stick out, but in terms of the squad that we're going to be facing on Monday, if I'm a Wednesday, I'm a Wednesday fan, who do I need to be looking out for?
I mean, we are still struggling with our injuries at the moment still. You know, Riley McGree went out on international duty with Australia. He came back injured. Hayden Hackney, injured. He's our big talent for the future. He's one that, if you haven't heard of him now you will do in the future. He's a massive talent. The first player I'd probably start with, and it's really weird starting with a centre-back, is Rav Vandenberg. Everybody at the start of the season knew his brother. It's a Sepp signed for Liverpool, went on to Preston. But this kid is something else. He's like a centre-half I've never seen before. At 19 years of age, he's already been captain of the club. He's already captained us this season. The only thing he's missing this year is a goal. Which I will admit, I have put on our podcast that I do think he'll score against Wednesday on at least. but he's fantastic. He's been brilliant. He's been a breath of fresh air. Looks so commanding. When you see him on Monday, you won't. If I didn't tell you he was 19 years old, you wouldn't think he was 19. He's got such a mature head on his shoulders. He's brilliant. And go down the squads, Johnny Howson. Yes, he may be, you know, kicking 57, 58, but the guy's been around for so long. He's like Benjamin Button. You think this could be the year he slows down, this could be the year he slows down, and he just gets better and better and better. He's such a talent. He's such a leader. He's been brilliant for us this year, and And one more I'd probably put in the mix as well is our striker we brought in this season, Emmanuel Latelas. Took him a while to get into the swing of things, get his first goal. Once he got his first goal, he's in double digits this season. He's enjoying himself. He's got pace to burn. If you leave 10 yards of space behind you, he will get you. He will get you. He showed it. If you look back in January against Chelsea, this big centre half of Chelsea, I think it was Disasi. He just tore him to pieces at times with his pace. You know, if you let someone do that to you, give him a space that you do, he'll do that to you. But they're the three I'd probably look at and think, yeah, keep an eye out for them on Monday.
Okay, that's helpful. So we're looking out for a centre half who's bearing in mind that we've got one centre forward who's done a job for us this season. The rest of them have been, pretty barren, to be honest with you. So and we've got a lad who's like lightning up top, and we've got Michael Ahekwe, who's probably been our best centre half. He doesn't bode well. And then you've potentially got Housen and Bannon in the middle of the park with a combined age of about 70. It's going to be some kind of afternoon, isn't it?
Exactly. We've got an aging midfield at the moment, but Housen and O'Brien have been absolutely fantastic. And we can battle Barry. But I love Barry Bannon as well. He's one player I always look out for. We should have signed him years ago. We really should have, but we never. But it's going to be an interesting battle in midfield. And say it might be a slow one, but it'll be a good one.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing the as you said, you've spoken about the way that the Middlesbrough set up, the sort of the style of the play, the expansive passing football. We've got a manager in who's come with a real sort of, although something of an unknown quantity, comes with a bit of a pedigree, having worked under people like Hansi Flick and worked at Bayern Munich and been at Germany. And he's not long for, the parish of Essex. He will be on bigger and better things. And I dare say he's probably going to be doing it sooner than Michael Carrick, because his stock is that high. And he's, already there are people making noises about looking at him being at the upper echelons of the Championship, if not sort of the Premier League, mid-table Premier League side. So the biggest worry that we've got at the moment is potentially losing our manager, because there are times where he's openly admitted in the press and he's openly admitted to people that interview him that he has his own frustrations with the way that our club is being run. So on the pitch, I think it's going to be quite an interesting dynamic to have a look at the way that these two managers set themselves up. And I'm hoping that they don't cancel each other out. I'm actually going up there on Monday, so making a bit of a train day of it. So I'm looking forward to it. You've mentioned Bannon. Is there anybody else you'd be looking out for from our point of view? Like you said, you've had a bit of a squad overhaul. Is there anybody else that you'd be looking for in a blue and white shirt on Monday?
He's probably one of the only, with respect, the ones I've looked at and thought I'm a bit worried about him. It's the only thing with Wednesdays, they're always organised in a way that it could be difficult to get at them. We found that in the second half of the game we played against us in September. I've seen you a couple of times on the TV during the season. It's been quite difficult to break down when you want to. But I do find a couple of times where you've conceded the first goal and all of a sudden you do melt a little bit. So I'm hoping and praying that could be the case on Monday. But if we can keep your striker quiet, that'll keep me happy. I think Vandenberg will do a job and then we can win the battles in the middle of the park, because that'd be the big one for me. If we can win that battle in the midfield, I think we'll win the game comfortably.
Comfortably? Ooh. To be fair, mate, you're not wrong. We don't tend to lose by the odd goal. If we're going down, we're going down with an absolute bombshell. We've lost 6-0. We've capitulated home and away against some of the teams. The Southampton game was an absolute, that was a long afternoon as well. So we don't just lose, we lose big. So it's got the makings for an interesting afternoon. But, I'm sort of same page with you. If we can lay a glove on you sort of early, mid-first half, I think, there's going to be expectations of us being in the position that we are at the moment, that we can get something out of the game. So, as we've said, I'm looking forward to it and I'm hopeful it'll be a decent 90 minutes. Okay, two more questions. I'm going to trouble you first and foremost. for a prediction. I think I can see where it's going based on the conversation that we've just had. How do you see the game playing out? Give us a score prediction.
3-1. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet, but I do think we'll get an early goal, we'll kick into gear, get a second. You'll probably make it a bit nervous in the second half, and then we'll finish off with a third. So it's definitely 3-1 for me. Hopefully it's the second win of the Easter weekend, and we're laughing and we're happy. And we're going towards another home game with Swansea in really high spirits. But I really do, with all due respect, I do fancy getting that news on Monday and getting a win with a bit of ease.
Fine. See if I care.
You can flip this all you want, but yeah, I do.
No, we'll leave it. I've made some bold statements in my time this season as well, to be honest with you. So if I can look back at this one sort of Monday night, Tuesday morning, I'll be a happy fella. From my point of view, I tend to be the glass half full on our podcast when it's doom and gloom, when people are saying every game's must win. I'm the one that's sort of saying, look, you see the finish line, and we'll pick our points up as and when we can. I'm more concerned about what we do at home. I'm more concerned about picking up points in and around the teams that are in and around us. And I do think for the teams that are down fighting for, championship survival, I think there's two or three teams have got slightly easier run-ins than others. I wouldn't wish Blackburn's running on anybody, by the way. That's an awful run-in. And I think of the teams that are sort of floating about in that lower mid-table, I think Blackburn are in a bit of trouble. I'd be happy, as I'm sitting here now and before Friday, I'd say I'd be happy with a battling point. It wouldn't surprise me if we went up there and nicked one. But I'm gonna sit on the fence. I'm gonna get a bit of a splintered arse, and I'm gonna go for a 1-1 myself. So we'll see how it plays out. But that's where I am at the moment. Last bit, if you don't mind, I'm gonna trouble you for some watering hole advice for those of us that are travelling up on trains, getting up there early, Easter bank holiday weekend. If I'm a Wednesdayite travelling up to Middlesbrough, any sort of venues that you might be able to, and I'm putting you on the spot here, I'm aware, any sort of venues that we might be able to go and drop into?
There's a few in town. There's a few good watering holes you can go to. There's a few, if you come out the station, turn right onto Albert Road, you've got Barracuda, you've got Hit the Bar next to the college, you've got the actual fan zone next to the ground. They say it's more than welcome to away fans. It's usually a good little atmosphere, especially if the weather's okay. It's usually bouncing in there. You've got the Pig Iron, you've got the Central, proper pubs, proper. They're the boozies you want to be in. They're proper. They really are good. But there's a fair few on Albert Road, Linthorpe Road. There's a fair places to go to have a good drink and have a good time in Middlesbrough before you watch your team get beat 3-1.
Listen, I will be clipping that one. We will be clipping that one if he's come the other way on Monday afternoon. Stephen, do you want to give your podcast, your channels, anything that you've got coming up, a little bit of a plug?
Yeah, you can find us at the 12th Man Podcast on YouTube, on Facebook, on X at 12th Man. We're on Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Amazon, all your good places. We've got loads of stuff coming between now and the end of the season. Potentially a couple of guests that are going to come on and grace our presence. We've already had Kieran Scott on, who's our chief recruitment officer. So he spoke us through. If you want to listen back to that, it's on there. Yeah, come say hello. We don't bite. It's a good laugh. We're opinionated. We just love our football club as well as you guys do.
Perfect, mate. Really good plug there. For the Wednesdayites amongst us, usual plug for any of you getting involved. You can see down the bottom of the screen if you're on YouTube with us. We're on all the popular channels, if you like, YouTube, Facebook, X. We've got a TikTok account where some random little girl keeps running around and making fun of her dad. and you can get in touch. Lots and lots of stuff going on with us at the moment. The Last Man Standing's live, people that are listening, we've done the Easter egg drop recently, so loads of good community initiatives that we're doing, trying to give back. Get in touch, like, subscribe, come and have a look at what we're doing. Stephen, cheers, mate. I'm looking forward to proving you wrong on Monday. All the best, pal.
All the best.
Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.